This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of December the 2nd, 2019. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody, and happy holidays. If you're of a certain age and grew up in Indianapolis, you might remember this hallowed holiday tradition, going to the Ellis Ayers department store downtown, being whisked upstairs by the Chimney Express, taking a seat on a tiny little train, and then going to meet Santa Claus. This was in the back of Pat Sullivan's mind when he began to envision the Sullivan Santa Express. Last year, about 35,000 people took the train ride. It's lined with alpine vistas, animatronic characters, and goofy scenes from Santa's North Pole operation. In reality, it winds through the Garden Center at Sullivan's Hardware at 70th and Keystone Avenue before riders get a face-to-face with Santa. Now, 35,000 is a pretty big number, considering that last year was just the fourth year of operation. And it's probably not too much of a stretch to say that it's becoming a Northside holiday tradition, although riders come from all over the state. The Express has grown considerably in scope since 2015, with about $500,000 invested so far. And the ticket prices reflect this. It's not cheap. My full family paid $20 in the first year. Today, the fare for a family is $50 to $60, depending on the day. Now, I recently interviewed Pat Sullivan, who's the head of the local family-owned hardware chain, for the weekly question and answer feature in the print edition of IBJ. But it was so interesting, and Sullivan was so forthcoming about the investment and business case for the Express that we thought, hey, this sounds like a holiday podcast. So here's the conversation. And because I didn't originally record it with a podcast in mind, the sound quality is a little uneven, but you will definitely get the gist.
What was the first year that you guys started with the
This is our Express fifth year. So would that be 14? Yeah, this is the fifth year of the Sullivan Express.
How did the idea come about?
Came up out of from my childhood. You know, I was the Ellis Ayers child who went to the department store. I remember as a kid being so magical. I have five children, and going to see Santa is very painful. So I thought, well, how can I make this less painful? So we started doing Santa nights. And people would come in and you'd get a number. So you didn't stand in line. We had activities. Well, then the victim of our own success, they got too big. So I always had the train thing in my mind. And logistically, it's like, how the heck am I going to get a track and all that? And then I kind of came upon the trackless train. And so when we added on to this facility, I mean, we made it so that the train, from the radiuses, the structures, so that the train would make its way through our garden center.
When did you add on?
We had an extension. Well, we've done two. So originally, I think it was 15.
So one of the things you were thinking about while you were adding on was, how can we make a train work?
Yeah. So we had the idea of the train.
Yeah.
So when we were doing the expansion, we worked all of that in and worked with the train manufacturer. He looked at our layout to make sure that our garden center would accept the train, would make all the turns and all that stuff.
How much has this changed in 5 years?
A lot. I mean, we had one train, but we didn't know if anyone was going to ride. You know, matter of fact, I remember the first year, so all the tickets are sold online. So the whole idea is a reserved ride so that there's no waiting. You don't wait. It's kind of a private visit with Santa. It's not like standing in line when it's like, go, kid, it's your turn, get up there. It's just a nice experience. But we didn't know. The very first year, the tickets always go on sale November 1st at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? They just do. And we sat there and watched the computer, and we sold 89 tickets the first hour. And we were beyond thrilled. Fast forward to our fifth year, we sold 1,700 tickets in 14 minutes. And then ended up selling 2,500 the first hour. And then the first day till midnight, almost half the tickets were gone.
The ticket is for a car. It's not one single person.
It's the tickets for a family.
Okay.
Because our commitment is to the parents and the children. So if you happen to have, you know, two parents and 10 kids, we'll reserve you two cars at the same price.
So if it's $60 per ticket per family.
Yeah, 50 to 60.
If I've got 12 kids, it's still just $60.
Yep.
Saturdays.
We really wanted to charge families with less kids more, but no, that seemed like it would be a really unpopular thing.
It really would.
Yeah.
I would feel hurt.
Yeah.
I would not want to come.
Well, I have five kids. I'm always getting, you know, we always like, how much is it per person?
How much do you think you put into it at the beginning?
Probably the beginning, you know, I don't know, with the build out of the North Pole and stuff, probably a couple $100,000 the first year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And then how much do you think you made in the first year? Did that cover the cost?
Yeah, I think it did.
Wow.
I mean, it certainly did. I mean, the first year, $20. Because again, and it's not like we were trying to hook people and like, you know, we had this grand plan that we're going to raise the price. You know, it was $20, but then when we saw it got real popular, there's a mom's website called Indie with Kids. Shouldn't say mom and parents. She kind of jumped on board and really propelled us and got us in front of a lot of moms.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. People took right to it right away, and then all of a sudden you get charged up and thought, wow, we can make this a lot better. And then we started doing more. We added the second train because the first year with one train, we probably wouldn't be good at a transportation company because it was like we kind of misjudged how long it took to load and unload a train with toddlers and stuff. Found ourselves kind of shoving some kids, which we're not proud about, but we had to keep the schedule. So we ended up having to cut it because the very first day we ran, we got behind 45 minutes. And the only thing we could do was bake cookies, which is what we did. We literally handed out chocolate chip cookies by the dozens and dozens. And then we, overnight that night, we had to figure out and we had to cut about 15 to 30 seconds off the route because we were just falling behind every, you know. So now with two trains and then three trains and this year four trains, you know, we're a lot more efficient on our timing.
So there's a train leaving every 15 minutes?
Every 7.5 minutes.
Every 7.5 minutes. Oh, yep. Wow. How much creative input do you have to this whole process?
I'm right there. I write the scripts of the talking animals and, I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of good ideas, but I'm right there.
Main creative.
I would say that's true without.
Over the course of the year, are you sort of in the back of your mind thinking, well, you know, this year we could, you know, do a ski resort?
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff comes up all the time. I mean, we're already looking towards next year and some of the new features. And I got my eye on a 4-piece life-size polar bear band.
Oh, that exists. You can buy it.
It exists, yeah. Okay. Yeah, another one of our Denmark acquisitions, hopefully.
Can you say how many people rode last year?
We think it's about 35,000 based off the tickets and about, you know, 5 people per car.
Okay, so that was last year.
That's last year.
Have you increased capacity this year?
Last year, what we added a second North Pole. I don't like to talk about that, but so what we did, we called it the fourth family problem where originally it was 10 minutes in the North Pole, 4 families, 10 minutes, and boom, 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 you had to get, you know,
right.
And then back on the train. And so occasionally the fourth family, right. The train's pulling up. So what we did was we raised the price, extended the time by 50% in the North Pole, added a second North Pole. So we're able to increase the volume and that has really smoothed out and really just enhanced an experience that people already like, made it even better.
This year, the way you have it configured, would you expect to do about 35,000 again, or did you increase the capacity?
No, we couldn't because we did not increase the capacity. We did on adult events. So we have the late train and we're doing a lunch express. So, we really want people to realize that it's not just for kids. I mean, there's a lot of fun, you know, to come play. We have comedy nights. We do a bunch of comedy between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. That's all adult only. But the same thing, they ride the train to the North Pole and Santa greets them and the whole bit. So,
mm-hmm. So 35,000, how many tickets was that?
There's about 6,500 tickets.
And usually then they'd be $50 to $60 per ticket.
Yes.
So the Scrooges among us are going to go, are you doing this to make money or are you breaking even?
I just love the children. No, it's, I mean, it's too much work not to make money. It just is. It's, I mean, the amount of expense, and I probably don't calculate our expenses like I should because, you know, you use a lot of staff. You know, we have a couple maintenance guys that literally start in August creating, and then the gardens, it kind of works well with your business because the garden center staff, you know, they're all kind of in between Christmas trees and plants, so they do a lot of the creative work out here and stuff. So yeah, so does it make money? Absolutely makes money.
How much money does it make?
The revenue is about $350,000. I've never really penciled out because you've got so much train expense and we invest so much into it. Like this year, you know, we've invested about $70,000 this year. You know, we have $30,000 worth of animation coming from Denmark that we hope is going to get here. We've got new routes. We've got concrete. I got another train,
Another train coming?
No, there's one brand new one this year.
Oh, okay. The fourth.
Yeah.
This is the fourth.
So, and I don't throw that expense on 1 year, but even when you put it out over 10 years, it's like, it's an expense. So, yeah. The story, though, is not making money on the train. The story is getting people into your store to buy.
And that's the other question.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so, do you feel confident that you are bringing people to the store who wouldn't normally come to the store?
Yeah, or without a doubt.
Do you know that people, when they come to the store, are like, oh, I need to pick up a shovel?
Any place where we have added an hour, because we've got to remember, when we first started the first year, then we would expand when, you know, we'd sell out, so then we'd expand the next year more hours. And any place where we added an hour that wasn't there the year before, our sales increased on average about 20%.
In the store?
In the store.
Yeah.
Outside of the train ticket sales. So actually what happened was our transaction count spiked and went way up and average ticket sale went down because it's people in and they're grabbing a Yeti cup or an ornament or something like that.
So you, as a merchandiser or as a store guy, you're like, I need more small stuff. I need tchotchke stuff to sell.
Which we already had anyways. But I mean, it's just, a lot of our, main business are artificial trees and that's all big ticket stuff. But yeah, it gets so many people that have never, and really from a lot of small towns, I mean, get a little bit of draw, Columbus, Kokomo, Fort Wayne, people drive down.
Well, that's fascinating. Okay, so that for sure does increase your sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
But I mean, yes, we're here to make money, right? We're here to turn a profit. But what it does for your staff, the excitement, I mean, everybody getting to play, I mean, it's a blast. They're out there working and creating and stuff. So it's a good, healthy thing for your employees, too.
The IBJ podcast is brought to you by Krieg DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Krieg DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Krieg DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.kriegdevault.com.
How many people does it take during operation to make it all happen?
Well, we have four engineers, we have a station manager, we have seven conductors, and then we have Santa times two.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a hard time saying that.
Has it sold out this year?
We had less than 400 tickets left a couple days ago, so we went and scratched around and added about 15 more hours.
Okay.
So, because that's the thing, you can kind of look and go, you first put it out there and you go, well, would someone bring their family there at 9 o'clock in the morning? And they will. So we kind of keep pushing. We go till 9 o'clock at night, the last hour of the day, but then the other times that are the last to sell, it's kind of fascinating watching as the tickets, nap time. Nap time is the last to sell. Because that about 1 o'clock to 2:30 is nap time, and those tickets are the last ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, it really is.
Wow.
You sit there and watch it and see these bubbles in the middle.
It was surprising to me that you've only done this for 5 years, because I feel like it has already become like a Northside tradition.
I know, and it has, and that's, I feel the exact same way. I feel like that we've done it for so long, and when it's like, no, this is the fifth year. I have never done anything that has so quickly emotionally attached people to my business than the Sullivan Express. It's just amazing. And then we take this pretty seriously. I mean, when people entrust their holiday experience to you, you take it really, I mean, I remember the first year, it's like, you got kids out there loading the trains, dressed in their, it's like now they are dressed head to toe as conductors and they act the part as a conductor. Because that's really what they are, as a conductor. We try to make it as authentic because it really is. Mm-hmm. It's serious business for us. I mean, it really is. You know?
I mean, my mom called me last year and this year, and was like, "You got to get tickets for this." So she's hearing it from her friends. That's an amazing amount of penetration.
Yeah.
In the market for 5 years.
I know. It's we have just been, it's blown away, but it's like just been a great run. But the key now that we're trying to work on with these other experiences is as kids age out of Santa, you know, you want to give that opportunity. So even this year, and they haven't even gone on sale yet, we're going to offer train rides at the same time the Santa experience is going on. So, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old, you know, they might feel awkward going to see Santa, but this still allows them an experience. So they can ride the train, and they'll be, we're calling it the bullet. The bullet train just goes through and doesn't stop at the North Pole. And so that would be good for kids that have aged out. It's good for, there's a lot of kids that want to ride again, you know, so they can ride. So those tickets, but we didn't put them on sale at first because we were concerned that there'd be confusion. That $20 ticket or whatever it is was going to get them to the North Pole.
Yeah. And I wanted to circle back and talk about the people who come late. As you mentioned, I mean, there are a lot of people who come from out of town.
Yes. Yep. They get caught in traffic. The worst is rush hour. People are coming in from smaller towns and, you know, they get a little bit of traffic and all of a sudden it's chaos at the check-in desk because every ticket sold and we are not like an airline where the door is closed and you can't get on the plane. We are going to get you on there somehow. So we're constantly shuffling and pushing, you know, people that have arrived early, you know, try to push them onto trains and fill the cars.
Okay. So you can make it work.
We can make it work, but it is. I tell you what, if there's an accident on 465 or one of the major, it's like, it's chaos here.
So like what percentage of people show up late?
Probably just, you know, definitely more at rush hour, but probably 15%.
Okay. I mean, so enough to really throw things
down a while. Yeah. But, you know, in fairness to them, they don't realize that we're running a pretty tight ship and the trains are leaving every 7.5 minutes. It's not unusual for someone to be loading in to the car and to have someone turn to you and say, "Hey, you're going to have to hang on. My husband's parking the car." It's like, "We ain't waiting. His train is leaving. But we will get your husband on that train as he shows up, or we'll get him to the North Pole or whatever."
So $60 on weekends. Do you get pushback from some people like, "What?
Very little.
Why is this $60?
Very little.
Yeah.
Because it's still a great value, and we have never, ever raised the price without adding value. And we're pretty proud of that because as it got pretty popular, you know, we could have charged more. You know, when you go from one train to two train, you go from the ride being 4 minutes to the North Pole to 7.5 minutes. The biggest jump was $35 to $50, but because of the problem that we had the short time in the North Pole and expanding from that time by 50%, and you're selling time, so we raised the price. Mm. And so very little. Okay, you know, last year there's a little bit, but I'm talking about like, you know, a dozen people. We just raised the weekends by $10, but we've invested so much in this new, that we're really excited about. Our staff's really excited about downtown North Pole. So.
Oh, yeah. What's new this year?
Well, it's, we have downtown North Pole, which is a street of 7 shops that you would find if you actually worked at the North Pole. So, and they'll be full of animation, kind of a throwback to the Ellis Ayers days. So,
how much do you think you have invested total in the Santa Express experience?
Outside of the buildings, obviously these buildings we have, the main focus of them is the North Pole. Although, you know, we'll use them for, we have weddings, showers, a lot of wedding showers, baby showers, events in these buildings in the off season, but probably around $500,000, I would guess.
Yeah,
I try not to add it up because I'm kind of a kid. I'm kind of a kid at heart, and I don't want to let
accounting
get into my fun.
Yeah, it's a wonderful life question. If you had never had the Santa Express, what do you think this would all be like?
You know what? We had a good Christmas business. I mean, we were really a good Christmas retailer. But I mean, the Santa Express, the Sullivan Express, has really pushed, I mean, just it, it's just been amazing what's done for business. And you know what? Isn't that what retail is, though? I mean, it's not just at Christmas. Everything we do is, how do we get people to get out of their pajamas, get dressed, and come to our store? So that's kind of like what this is, to be a little bit, to provide that experience. Now, we have a great leg up because live plants, and in the spring, it's people just love to walk around. It's therapy. But, I mean, that's why we now have a restaurant. You know, we have cooking classes. You know, you can rent a venue. You can come to a shower here. So that's
a... No kidding. You guys have showers here? Mm-hmm. I have to say, when I walked in, I didn't know you guys had a restaurant. Yeah. So I can just walk in on a Saturday morning and just get breakfast.
You can. Yep. Yep. It's got a great menu.
My thanks again to Pat Sullivan. You can find a shorter version of this interview in the latest edition of IBJ, which has a few other stories I want to draw to your attention. Residents on the west side were excited last month to hear that the owner of Lafayette Square Mall has put it up for sale. The struggling retail monolith desperately needs a new direction, but where can it really go from here? Mickey Shuey explores the most likely options. Also in this week's paper, Sam Quinn has a revealing interview with Butler University President James Danko, who spent nearly two decades as an entrepreneur and business owner before jumping into higher ed. Sam explores how his entrepreneurial mindset has informed his tenure at Butler so far. And Susan Orr reports on an issue that, of course, is near and dear to the hearts of Indianapolis residents, war memorials. Now, this one would recognize veterans of Desert Storm and Desert Shield. And although it would be in Washington, D.C., the effort has Hoosier fingerprints all over it. You can find all of these stories in the latest issue of IBJ, which you, of course, have delivered to your home or office, or online at IBJ.com. And remember, to have full and unfettered access to all of IBJ's award-winning business content, just hit that subscribe button. So, thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbenner. I'm Mason King, and we'll be back again next week.